Walk-On fans, we are back. It is game week. And there was already a game played, Nebraska versus Illinois. We're going to get to that. There's a bunch of bookkeeping stuff in the front of this podcast. It's jam-packed. It's football season. And throughout this episode, you're going to be able to tell that we have all the content in the world to talk about. There is a lot here. You can feel the energy. Football's back. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 244 of the podcast, and today is going to be a banger. We have a lot of fun stuff to talk about, but before we get into any of that, I'm going to introduce you guys to something new that I have implemented on this podcast, mostly as a way to clean up Kluver and I's act a little bit, because at this point, it is time, I think. I have implemented the Washed Up Walk-Ons F-word fund. For every F-word said on this podcast, it is $5 into a fund that goes towards buying the kids at the Children's Hospital more Christmas presents. And I did this because I feel like we've gotten a lot of feedback that we just say a few too many F-words, and maybe it's just time to mature it up a little bit. And so, yeah, the kids are probably going to get some nice Christmas presents, but this podcast is potentially going to get a little cleaner.
Well, I just got paid, Drake. You didn't,
you know. Yeah, well, that's because Nebraska fucking sucks. Boys, we are back in action. 2021 is going to be hot. What do you got for us, Kloof?
I got a Venmo for $5 from Drake Kulik, and a hot start to the pod. I'm sitting here with a butterfly sort of anticipation that I haven't had since we did the podcast after the racial allegations came out last year. And since then, before that, it was probably the first couple of weeks that we started the podcast, and we literally didn't know what we were doing when we turned on the record button. So, and before that, it was when we ran out into Kinnick Stadium, when I would get that adrenaline feeling. So the reason because of that is, like Drake said, we have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, but not only that, it's game week. And I just about said F in game week, but I thought about, and I love the kids, but if I don't hold back now, the Bitcoin is not going to be the worst investment that the Washed Up Walk-Ons are making. It's going to be our mouth.
Kevin, I mean, at that rate, I think it's going to cost us like $100 each, an episode.
Yeah, no, we're going to be hundreds deep. And,
And I want the fans to hold us accountable. Somebody have a clicker on us. Somebody give us the tally.
I don't know those stats, dude. When you come into Sunday after a bad game, you don't even want the coaches to read off the stats. You know, we like what we did on third down or how many yards rushing we gave up. You don't even want to know, man.
Definitely don't want to know how many.
Start, Kevy. Like this is when you tell the drug test lady that you smoked a bunch of weed, but you didn't know you weren't supposed to. And she's like, all right, you know,
you get
what?
The one
from
strike
forward, you're going to have a fresh start. This is our fresh start.
Fresh start. Now, for those listening, you might be sitting there wondering, wait a second. Is that Kevin? Why does he sound so crisp and clean? And that's because Kevin has a mic that matches tech guys now as he pans his camera over for the YouTube viewers. That thing is heavy duty. I know you felt that when you brought it out of the packaging and you thought, wow, this is way too expensive. And we figured out how to get his USB port, at least for now. I can't promise how the longevity of it, but at least for now, we figured out how to get Kevin to sound like a freaking podcaster. So Kev, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's thanks for having me on, guys. Feel like a totally new human being. Feel like a new member of the show.
The difference between this and Turn Signal Kevin is incredible. It's a drastic difference. I ran a poll the other day on Twitter, and of course, Kevin, he shit on me. and couldn't let me just run a poll on Twitter. He had to give me a smart ass response. I said, if you sit down for breakfast and you get four options, that's all you get. All right. This is a hypothetical scenario. You only get four options and you don't get to be cute and like mesh two options together. Which one of the following do you pick? Drake, I'd like your answer. Kevin, you didn't give an answer as well. You get the choice between French toast, pancakes, cinnamon roll, or waffles. And
depends on if they all have to be standard or not.
They are all top tier quality.
Okay, so I can get any pancake that I want?
Any pancake you want in the world. The best pancakes you've ever had, or the best French toast you've ever had, or the best cinnamon roll you've ever had.
Well, then it's got to be pancakes, because there's a place down in Arizona called Snooze, and you can get a sinful pancake, which is a massive, fluffy, just delectable buttermilk pancake made into a cinnamon roll topped with like fresh, thick-cut bacon bits.
With bacon on it.
Wow. Oh, and caramel sauce over the top just to add a little extra element. So that's the pancake of the century.
So that's the diabetic disc, huh?
That is a great way to put it, Bubba's.
A plate of diabetic discs. Kevin said there's not a single bit of protein in this list, which no, there's not. But that wasn't the point. Like, of course, Kevin, I get it. Add four or five scrambled eggs, two pieces of toast, six pieces of bacon to it, because I know that you're eating like an 1,800 calorie breakfast to feed your powerlifting goals, right? But you have to choose between one of these. So what's the choice?
Can we count like crepes as a pancake? Is that allowed?
Shh.
Who the French toast are you, man?
That's the most Kevin Ward thing. He's gonna bring in crepes.
Drake, you know what's about to happen here real soon. Kluver, answer the question. Can we include crepes as a pancake? Are they a subset of pancake?
I'm gonna say yes, just for sake of the podcast.
Then I'm gonna go with that, because the crepes at Mon Ami Gabi in Las Vegas.
My boy, on Thursday, I'm headed to Las Vegas for a bachelor party this weekend, and we are for certainly having a damn breakfast at Mon Ami Gabi.
Wow, you guys found a little spot when you went out on like a bro date there, didn't you?
Well, my parents have known about the spot for a long time.
Okay.
Every single time I've been to Vegas, and it's
and we went when we were on a great trip.
Yeah. Well, now I'm intrigued, because I'm all three of us are big breakfast guys, and I'm going to need to check that place out. But I have to check out Vegas in general first. So we'll get there eventually. Results from this poll. I know you guys are sitting there listening. Will tell us what the runaway choice was. French toast ran away with this poll. Surprised me. I thought for sure it would be pancakes. 38% said French toast. Second place by a percent was pancakes at 22%, waffles at 21%, cinnamon roll at 19%. So basically a sort of a three-way.
Cinnamon roll would have been my second answer too, because a true fresh Cinnabon cinnamon roll is as top tier as they get.
Cinnamon roll is my first answer, followed by pancakes, French toast, waffles.
But bro, dude, just eating a cinnamon bun for breakfast is talk about a worse way to start off your day.
I brought you a dozen of them and then just start my day over tomorrow.
Exactly. You take a nap. You take a nap. I can only imagine, because this comes out in the morning, someone's driving to work right now and they're like, oh, God damn it, I got to go get a cinnamon roll or something like that. Swing by for some hotcakes from the McDeezies. Speaking of McDonald's, if you guys listen to our podcast recently, over the past, I don't know, 5-6 days, you might have started to hear some different advertisements. Okay. And we've been teasing this for a while now. You're going to start to hear new ads that you haven't heard in a while. If you just skip through them, that's totally fine. We only care about you pushing play on the podcast. And if your platform allows it to, turning on the automatic download, go do that now if you haven't. But last week, I turned on one of our episodes to see if the new ad system was working, and there was a McDonald's ad that played on the old Washup walk-ons. So we're getting a little bit national base now. Okay. This isn't just a, Kevin and I were talking before the podcast. This isn't just some chip chop operation. Okay.
And it's a damn shame if you ask me.
And we're losing our edge probably because
we're losing our identity. We don't know who we are as a podcast.
The lack of F words already in the first 10 minutes here has been really disheartening. And I promise you that the F word hasn't disappeared. We're all just scared to be the first one to drop it. I'm sure you'll get a few by the end.
Listen, man, if I get on a Nebraska waterfall, it could be a darn snowball effect from Mount Everest.
Well, the Fuskers are an item on today's agenda, but we're going to get there in a second because they deserve to wait. They deserve to wait for a long time for basically.
They're not headline news anymore.
No.
Back of the bus.
Yeah, back of the bus. Okay. Your boys officially are now brought to you by iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Let's clap it up for the boys, huh?
It's for the boys.
Now, this is a big move. I want to shout out our contacts at iHeart. They listen to the episodes. You know who you are. Matt, thank you so much for reaching out, making this possible, wanting to bring us onto the network, giving us new opportunity. And this is really going to, it's really big. And it's not so much for our benefit, but it is for your guys' benefit. And it should be that way because everyone who continues to come back and listen to our dumbass conversations about cinnamon rolls and pancakes and crepes from Vegas and whatever the hell else that we talk about, you guys continually coming back to listen because you know at some point we'll give you some little goodie about Iowa football. That is why we have been able to grow. We've been able to grow our brand, sort of establish ourselves in the Iowa media community. And for us to be partnered with iHeartRadio, a national brand, is insane. And it really, bottom of our hearts, thank you so much. And we hope you just continue to enjoy the content that we're able to produce. It'll sound better now because we have some money to buy Kevin a mic. We even have enough money to scrounge up some laptops for the boys that are just podcast specific. Hey, here at the Washed Up Walk-Ons LLC, you get a work computer. You know, we're moving up.
We're about it.
And so thank you guys. Thank you everybody so much.
We should start putting out like a weekly poll. What should we make the podcast buy for us this week?
I don't think that's a good idea. More Bitcoin.
Hookers.
Okay, hookers. Right. Yeah, okay. Moving on. Part of the way that you guys support us is Patreon. And I'm sorry about this, but there's a lot of housekeeping on today's episode and the season is right around the corner. So I want to get all this shit out of the way so you guys don't have to listen to it. Part of the way you guys support us is on Patreon. And we have a few new patrons this week. My guy Stan, David, Matt, Doug, and Jason, all new members of the Walk-On Army. Congratulations. Welcome to the squad. We're now 150 deep, boys. 150 deep.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
We're half of the 300 officially. And
what is your occupation?
Walk on. Not a scholarship player, just a walk on. Water boy, walk on, see the field eventually. You five that are new to the Walk On Army, congratulations. Welcome to the absolute squad of squads. And you guys are going to reap the rewards of being a part of that. One of those is you're going to get a opportunity to be in on the Walk-On Fantasy Football League. Everybody that signed up on Patreon, please stay tuned for that announcement on your Patreon feed. We're going to be having a Walk-On Fantasy Football League. That'll be tomorrow, or actually today, Monday, as you listen to this. Okay, that one's checked off the list. Finally, before we talk about Illinois and the Fighting Illini trouncing the Nebraska Cornhuskers like they're a D3 college.
Nebraska Cornhuskers, man, we diminish.
Yeah. We have one more announcement, and I tweeted this out on the Wash Up Walk-Ons account on Twitter. Saturday, 115 Hawks by a Million flags arrived at my residence,
and I am turning into the postman for the next few days. Those flags will be listed on our website. As you listen to this, if you're listening to it right away in the morning on Monday, they are not going to be available yet. The plan is to have them available noon on August 30th, Monday, August 30th. So if you're listening to this anytime after that, check the website, thewashedupwalkons.com or hawksbyamillion.com to get your Hawks by a Million flag. They are not going to be, they're going to be half as expensive, actually more than half as expensive as the last ones were. They're one-sided, but they're still great quality. I've already got mine ready to hang up down in the garage in the old gym and get them while they're hot. Fly them in your basements, fly them in your front yards, fly them in your office, fly them at the tailgate in Iowa City. Put them wherever you want and rep the walk-ons and rep Hawks by a Million, because that's what it is. Let me take a drink, because that was a big
Nebraska long. Sucks, and we're going to have a great season on this podcast.
An absolute great season.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
So glad that we got all that crap out of the way. Actually, one more quick shout out to everybody who said hi to me at the Damn to DSM race yesterday on Saturday. I had random walk-on army shouting out, cheering me on as I ran real slow from south of Ankeny to Des Moines. You guys are legends. Nebraska, Illinois. The first Big Ten game of the year, featuring two teams that almost nobody is excited about. Unless you are,
could it have been any sweeter to have Nebraska just front and center for every single college football fan in America to watch? Because everybody has been foaming at the mouth to watch college football, and Nebraska comes out and lays a fucking egg on day one. $5, baby, and it's worth it because they suck that bad.
Do I have a? There it is. Hey, I even got a little sound bite for it. Drake Kulik, $10 in. Thank you, says the children. Yeah, man, you get an opportunity. You're game one of the year, right? It's all about money these days. Hey, it's all about money. So let's create a week zero. Hey, there's 12 weeks or 13 weeks with a bye week, but that's not enough. Let's create a week zero. And then let's also start making college football teams play on every day of the week. Next or this week, you're going to see two Big Ten matchups on Thursday. And I believe there's like Wednesday night Maction. Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie to you.
They usually start to October, November.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm pretty damn hype about the double Thursday action, bro. Don't count me out on the boos there.
Well, I'm not even booing it. It's just like, it is cool as a fan now. As a player, we would have hated that. I know KF hates that. But now as a fan, it's like, okay, Monday, we got Monday Night Football. Tuesday, there's probably some random two college teams playing somewhere. Wednesday, Maction Wednesday. Thursday, you got games. Friday, you're right into the weekend, full slate of NFL and college games. Like, you don't miss a day. And this is
beautiful.
It is beautiful. This is a statement game, right? Statement game. You get to be the first Big Ten team to play football this year. What are you going to come out and look like? The Fighting Oliver Martins, and I know that he was a sore subject on our podcast, and when he was announced early in the game as like the guy that they were looking to do well. And he did do well. He's
looks like a pretty good player, man. Looks like he can play well.
And what did we say all along? Guy's athletic. Guy looks like a great athlete. His high school film, he's mossing kids. He's, you know, everything you want to see it with him. It was always, does he want to be there? Does he want to play football? Cause the physical skills was never a question. Looks like he's finally found his home. Is it ironic that it happens to be in Lincoln, Nebraska? Maybe a little bit, but he's a good player. He is what you would call a concern for a defense at receiver. He's going to be the guy for Nebraska that other people have to game plan for. Six catches, 106 yards. Kevin's making a face. Six catches, 106 yards, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Now, is he
stat line? I don't you ain't game planning for this
game. No, you're not game planning. Sure. You're not changing your game plan, but you need to know where he's at. You need to know where he
is at. There's very few wide receivers in the Big Ten.
Yeah. He's not Rashad Bateman.
Or even that we played against in our entire tenure at Iowa, that you had to, you know, really, really game plan around and be aware of where they're at on the field.
Game plan was the wrong word, but he's a guy.
You got a game plan for their quarterback, though, because he's legit. I give him props.
Well,
he's not that accurate right now, and that's not, like, that surprising. But the kid is kind of a problem.
He's an athlete.
I
think he struggles with his progressions through his reads.
He does. He's not a quarterback.
You would, too, if you had their offensive line in front of you, dude.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair statement.
That there's never been something that's said. And a quick note on that. Nebraska last year had a lot of problems with their center quarterback exchange in the shotgun. I believe their center's name is Cameron Juergens or something like that. And he has a problem with snapping it over the head of the quarterback. And it was something that I was looking for yesterday against Illinois, and it came up again. He snapped it over Martinez's head one time. You're right, Drake. Adrian is an issue, mostly with his legs, which can be, and then Drake just disappears out of the chat. I'm sure he'll be returning soon. It's an issue, Kev, when he runs the ball. Clearly, they sent a weak side corner blitz, which somehow, I didn't catch the replay of it, but somehow they left an inside gap wide open on that. The defense did, and
so what he was doing is he was coming underneath the end, and then the back didn't pick him up. He's like,
okay.
So what the back is usually taught to do is, you know, stay for a second. Anyone need help? No. Released out to the flat. Didn't see the corner coming until it was too late. And
yeah. And then he got loose on a blitz as well and ran for like a 75-yard touchdown. So this kid can hurt you. Legs on a quarterback can hurt you with scrambling. He can get away. He can get away from defensive linemen. He can make stuff happen. The problem is when he has to then transfer that to throwing the ball to somebody, he's a little bit inaccurate. His reads, like Kevin said, aren't the best. He is sporadic at best, I think. And I don't think Nebraska. But
when the kid gets hot, he's a good player for them.
I agree.
He's the only good player for them.
He has the ability to be that guy where a couple teams this year, like, oh my God, really? Martinez picked picked today to have a good day, right? Like, he's got the ability in him. There's a reason he's starting. I believe he's a 4-star recruit. There's a reason he's starting at a Division I college, even though Nebraska's probably on that, you know, in Iowa football, there's sort of that 4A, 5A, depending on your enrollment. You might get sent down a class. Nebraska probably teetering on that line. They're probably trying to bring them down to like a 2A. A 2A school at this point, a Division II school. If they don't, you know, start picking up their weight, they're kind of embarrassing. It's a Division I institution.
As we're talking about these whole dissolving of conferences and switching it all up, and we just get them out, bro. They are dead weight, bro.
I'm interested in your thoughts on this, guys. How much credit do we give to Nebraska just not having improved a whole lot? And how much credit do we give Brett Bielema and the Fighting Illini for looking more solid than they have than when we played them, essentially? Our 5 years, Illinois was never a problem. Now, do they have the potential to become an issue?
Absolutely. I think Bielema is a good coach. I think he's got a good staff around him, and I think he will get – you know, depending on how they do recruiting wise, I think he will get Illinois to be a competitive team in the West.
I absolutely agree.
I think that Bielema has eaten way too much training table, but I think that he has also been in his office watching way too much damn film because he's got them boys playing some good football.
Good football. Here's what I noticed on the stat line. Time of possession. It's a big one, right? 35 minutes to Illinois, 25 minutes to Nebraska. Not what you want to see if you're on the low end of that.
Really not terrible, though.
No, not the worst, but not good. What I see in the eye test is this. They look like they're playing
hard-nosed Big Ten football. That's the style that they brought to yesterday's game. They look like old Brett, old Illinois, is going to try and become maybe the C tier of what Wisconsin and Iowa and Northwestern try to do, right? They try and beat you up. They try and be tough. They play tough football. They play in tough, close football games. It's not a blow it out kind of thing. This isn't Texas Tech where we're going to try and blow you out with 60 points, right? They're going to grind out football games. They got a guy, this Epstein kid. I don't know if he's related to the conspiracy. This kid can run the football now.
He's a tough kid.
Tough little sumbitch.
You'd be running tough too if your uncle just got killed by the government.
That's good. I don't like to give Drake credit for like little quick jokes, but that shit was good. You're right, Drake. You would be scared shitless if the government picked your family to start coming after. I wonder if Mike inherited the island. I don't know. But Epstein, this kid, 16 carries, 75 yards, one for a long of 45. He scored a touchdown. He probably could have had more if he wanted it, but they controlled, again, that time of possession, just tried to grind him out in that third quarter mainly. And God, he's not big, but he's tough. He accepts and almost welcomes contact. He's compact. He's he reminds me of like a Riley McCarron almost, but thicker, a little bit thicker. And he runs the ball well. Tough break for Brandon Peters, their quarterback, but Sitkowski, who I believe was at
a transfer from Rutgers, dude. He walked on at Rutgers and won the job as a true freshman. And then he transferred out of Rutgers.
Yeah. It's good to have a quarterback that has a little bit of experience, right?
Obviously.
It's not something the Hawkeyes have. It's not something that a backup quarterback that has experience. And Illinois sort of has that unique thing. Peters looked okay. I mean, he had four passes, right? He didn't have a lot of playing time before Sitkowski came in, but Sitkowski, he comes in, he goes 12 for 15, 125 yards, throws two touchdowns. You know, it didn't look like it really, it kind of looks like they're going to run the ball anyway in their offense.
As long as Sitkowski's just a smart kid and plays the game in a style where he understands he's a game manager and his coach just wants him to pass the ball as long handoffs, he's not going to blow the top off things. Mm-hmm. Like, he can be a good quarterback in that system.
I agree. Kevin, what do you think about that?
I agree completely. Seemed like they gave him a lot of manageable throws and asked him to do too much, but you know, he took it and ran like 12 for 15. That's a great, great game.
It's almost, and you guys can disagree or agree on this, but it's almost Hey Spencer, just do that. Right. Like if we can establish,
I disagree.
I think Spencer has more potential to be, to come
and
into it.
I think our offensive playmakers have more potential than
that. Oh, we have way more potential, I think, offensively. Goodson's a better running back than Epstein. We have I think we have probably two or three better receivers.
Now,
do I want
Spencer to play in the same manner where he takes the smart throw because somebody is always going to be open in our offense? Yes. Like, these guys are going to get open. They're going to beat their defenders. Like, every play, somebody's going to be open. And if Spencer can go through his progressions in a smart manner and just find the open guy every play, yeah, I want him to do that.
That's sort of what I meant, right? Like, we don't have to have him play. You're your own guy, right? Spencer Petras, go be Spencer Petras. But as far as production wise, you know, at this point, I think all of Iowa Nation would just appreciate Spencer Petras to be better than average. Hey, Spence, can we get you to be better than average every once in a while? Make a hell of a play. Make a dart throw between a window, right? Loft one in there to Tyrone down the sideline. Awesome, but we don't need it every other play. T Good, Lindy, they're going to take care of a lot on the running game. Defense is going to back us up. Manage the game a little bit. Just get us to the fourth quarter.
I don't think you guys are giving Spencer enough credit. I think he's going to have a good year, and I think they're going
to. No, see, I'm on your side.
I think they're going to ask him to do more than what you guys are giving him.
I would love if he could do more, and I think he can. What I'm saying is, after last year and a lot of the struggles that he went through, at this point, if he would just do what this is, the Hawks are going to be in good hands. And that's why I'm excited. Last year, I was sucking.
We're going to be throwing the ball more than 15 times a game, right?
Oh, yeah, we're going to throw it a lot more than 15 times a game.
I'm on Team Kevin here. I want it to be very well known that I'm on your side here, Kevin. I don't know how I got mixed in with Kluver's side.
I don't know how I got mixed in with – I never said that I just want him to do that. If he can do more, great. But you gotta roll the spectrum, you know, from where he was last year. He's got to prove that he can, like, be just okay before he's great, right? Like, you know, there's some things.
We're going to ask him to throw the ball downfield a little bit. We're not just going to ask him to throw a little.
You're right. And that's where he goes and proves it.
Little swing passes, little dink and doink and down the field, you know?
No, I agree. So I think it's a little bit of both for those sitting there wondering. Illinois, they're going to be better. I don't think they're not Wisconsin or even Minnesota.
No, they're not Wisconsin. He's not bringing that style of play to Illinois right now. I don't imagine he will either.
I got to see. I'm going to take a look at Illinois' schedule here. You know, what's the ceiling for them this year? They play obviously the West, and their crossovers are Maryland and Penn State.
They can be a bowl team, easy. I can see him going 6-6, 7-5.
I definitely think the team that showed up on Saturday is a bowl team.
Agreed. They also play UTSA, Texas San Antonio as a non-conference. They play Charlotte. So they've got some – they play Virginia. So I think Illinois – If they find some legs, they might be pushing for a bowl game here, right? They might be pushing for a 6-7 win season. I think Illinois starts off on a hot foot off of what I saw yesterday. Obviously, one game, it doesn't tell you everything.
Right. And I think we also have to mention the elephant in the room. Nebraska did not play a clean football
game. Oh, boys. Oh,
dude,
boys.
Did you see the shit that they're posting on social media about handing out black shirts and about the Nebraska culture and all of this stuff? And they come out and look like soft baby shit.
Oh, man. I mean,
it's been the same thing we've seen under Scott Frost for the last several years. You know, special teams.
Abysmal.
What the hell was that to start off the game?
Dude, our guy pulled a JP.
Jonathan Parker.
He tried to throw the ball back in bounds.
Hey, and Jonathan Parker, by the way, go fuck yourself. There's five more.
All right. And so, of course, in the Illinois-Nebraska opener of the college football season, the first points scored are a safety on the weirdest punt play. The guy should never be. So for those sitting there, returning is not an easy game. We talked about that last year with Charlie Jones. We talked about it with Amir Smith-Marset. To go back there on an island and return, that's a scary place to be.
To put your head up when everyone else is running at you.
Directly. There's missiles coming at your chest, and you're trying to find a ball up in the air.
But one of the first things you're taught as a returner when you're backed up, they're plus 50 punting, is put your heels on the 8-yard line. You know, sometimes they change it to the 10, 8, somewhere around there.
And never go
back up.
Never go backwards. If it goes over your head, you have the free, you have the green light. It's like the 3-0 count, right? It's not the green light, but it's sort of like you're not swinging no matter what. You're not backing up no matter what. The coaches aren't going to get mad that you didn't grab it, even if it takes a weird bounce.
Yeah,
right?
If they put it on the one, they put it on the one. Salute the punter and say, hey, good job.
This kid is sprinting backwards straight into the end zone and puts his knee down, tosses it out. It's a safety either way. He's a sixth-year senior, dude.
Oh, really?
Dude, he's a super senior.
And
that's bad. That's
puts the Huskers.
That shows you everything you need to know about the Nebraska culture, that they can't even teach a sixth-year player the rules of football.
My guy, it's not a good look. And so now they're down 0-2, and the memes are starting, and people are talking. Nebraska, I tweeted yesterday, I'm like, I bet the Nebraska message boards are just an absolute treat right now. People trying to get Frost fired. They never found their legs. The one thing that happened that was exciting for them was the long Adrian Martinez touchdown run. Other than that, they almost looked...
I mean, their defense looked good early.
Early, yeah. But they got worn down by that rushing attack.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Illinois capitalized on the fumble, scoop, and score right before the end of the half. I think that was the defining play of the game.
Unreal.
They come out in the third quarter and have some... Was it one or two really long drives for touchdowns?
I closed out of the box score. I think it was one. Or it could have been two. I'm not sure. It didn't really matter.
It was two long drives in the third quarter for touchdowns. And yeah, like you said, they kind of wore the defense out. So, yeah, a lot of it. Another big play just brought to my mind was the roughing the passer on what would have been an interception. I believe that drive turned into points for Illinois as well.
Yep. Big swing there. Huge point in the game. Point in the game. Because
that might have been, that might have led to their first touchdown.
And I understand it's tough.
It's always been Nebraska. It's been penalties, turnovers, stupid mistakes.
Yeah,
you'd hope the more experienced coaching staff with their team would win in those three categories week one.
Yeah, evidently after the game, the quote from Frost was, it looks like the same movie. And that's not something that you want to hear.
Definitely not when you thought you just hired the savior of your program. But newsflash, the savior of your program is a below 400 coach.
It's bad. They had him on a graphic comparing him to the worst opening records winning percentages of Nebraska head coaches ever. I mean, it's just, if you're a Nebraska fan right now, you're in a bad spot. You're almost to the point of, and we said this yesterday in the text message when we were talking about, oh, I can't wait to podcast today. One of you said, I'm almost not excited to talk about him anymore because
it's beating a dead horse.
It's literally beating a dead horse. Like when they think they're good and occasionally they flash as good, it's fun to shit on them for not being good.
But now they're just, you know, it's just one of the bad teams in the Big Ten West. It's like Nebraska's not good. Can we just accept Nebraska's not good? And it's just not as fun anymore.
You know? Right. Like when the kid in math class, like in fifth grade, is going around the world and you're doing flashcards and he's good and he's beating everybody and then he loses. Oh, that's embarrassing for him. But when the kid that can never get 2+3 just never wins or gets to go around the world, that's Nebraska right now. It's not fun to pick on that kid, right?
And
right.
I mean,
Nebraska is 2+3=6.
Yeah, they're 2+3=anything but 5. And 5 wins would be great for them, in fact. They're looking for 5 at this point. And that's all I got to say, at least this week. For them.
They have to go play at Oklahoma in middle of September.
And they're not excited about that. They are not.
Tried to get the game canceled.
They sure did. They should be trying even harder at this point after yesterday's result. And I saw a fun tweet yesterday that said, if anybody is just looking for free money, Oklahoma is still -19 against the Huskers on a specific betting website. So I have to imagine that goes up from here.
At least probably 2 points.
Yeah. And then as the season goes along, obviously that line will fluctuate. But yeah, I mean, at this point, we're probably going to crap on Nebraska week in, week out. But that's really all I have to say about them for this week.
I'm looking at Nebraska's schedule right now. I'm predicting 4-8, 5-7 team.
Yeah. And that's what they are. That's what they are as a program right now. And I don't think anyone expects much more. the interesting conversation is Frost. And at this point, there's talks of like literally trying to dissociate with him, fire him, get him out, and never remember who he was. Some people are on the side of like, screw it. Are we going to get anybody better than Scott Frost? Do we just keep him for 5, 8, 10 years and just see if it takes him a decade to turn this around? Even though that's not the timetable we want, do we just accept it? Right. Like, and that's the 5 stages of grief, like acceptance
starts is the last part of it, but yeah.
So who knows?
If I'm Nebraska's AD or president, you have to give him the full year.
Yeah, I agree.
If you fire another coach or.
And Kev, why, explain that. Why do you give him the full year?
I just don't think you attract any.
It looks bad.
Coaching prospects. Just the way the last three coaches have been treated there. Who wants to go coach Nebraska right now? It used to be a very attractive job. I'm not sure it is anymore.
It's the optics. Yeah.
So you give them the full year. Hopefully their play improves if you're a Nebraska fan. You have to see improvement this year, though.
If you see
8 more games like they just played versus Illinois, it has to be a real conversation as, can this guy get it done here? And to what you were saying earlier, it's like we thought we had the guy, a guy who was on the national championship team back in the 90s, who brought a group of 5 school, went undefeated, beat an SEC team in a January bowl game. You know, like, holy shit, that's our fucking guy.
Cha-ching. There's nobody more the guy than he was in 2016. Yeah,
and not be able to come and sell your players on what it's like to win at Nebraska and get them to buy into the culture that what it is to win. I don't know. I think he got hired in 18.
This is his 4th year. So yeah, 18 was his first year, 18, 19, 20, 21.
If you don't see solid improvement this year, I think it's tough.
You know? I don't think anybody would be surprised to see him get axed after this year. There shouldn't be a single person surprised.
See, so let me ask y'all this.
Here's what the problem is with Nebraska is their expectations have not been realistic for a while. And you lose a couple games and they start talking, murmuring. There's the noise out there of firing the head coach. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask y'all this. Do you have to get a coach from a lower level if you hire Scott Frost? Because you just fired the golden boy. Like, no coach wants to come coach there. Well, like, you have to get somebody who is clearly theoretically under the level of the coach that you've already got.
Kevin just said it. You're right. No. Hey, like, Kevin, if I offered you the job right now, you'd be like, well, is there any other places that need a coach? Cause I kind of want to weigh my options, right? Like Ward.
It would take someone with an extreme belief in their self that they can go there and win.
Yeah. Which because I'm sure.
Otherwise they're taking the 3-year paycheck and they're probably looking at, you know, moving on again.
So Drake, to answer your question, I think.
And taking a demotion. Cause after you go to Nebraska and just get your dick kicked in, for 3 years, you're not as attractive of a coach.
Yeah, I don't know where. It's an interesting.
If I was a Nebraska fan, I'd reach out to Bo Pelini. I don't know, is he still at Youngstown State?
I think he's. I want to say he coached for like LSU or something like that. He went somewhere else.
He was coordinating somewhere.
Bo Pelini,
he went to LSU.
Bo Pelini is currently.
I think he retired, I think.
No, he was most recently the D coordinator at LSU. Yep. I think he retired. You're right, Drake.
Because he went on Bussin' with the Boys and talked to Will Compton, and I'm pretty sure they talked about his retirement.
Yep, he spent 1 year, 15 to 19, so after he got fired, basically. He spent 15-19 at Youngstown State. Last year in 2020, he spent 1 year as LSU's defensive coordinator.
He made Youngstown State. He got him to, I think, either the semifinals or the final of D1AA.
I don't care what you say. He was good at Nebraska. They were winning 9 games a year, man.
He did the same thing at Youngstown State. So it's like, hey, do you want to come back? We would love 8-9-10 wins a season.
And it would be a building process too. I find it interesting because we never were even close. We were in the exact opposite of a situation like this. Do you think at this point that the players are sitting there in the locker room thinking, man, I'm not really.
Bro, those players don't know how to be winners. They haven't been winners since high school. They don't know what it takes to be a winner in college. Like, they don't know what it takes to practice as hard as we practiced to get average players to play, above average football together as a team. Like, they don't know what it takes to grind. Like, you have to grind. Those dudes don't have that culture. They can't do it. You have to go in and you have to completely rebuild the mindset of those players. And a lot of them aren't going to want to do it. And they're going to transfer out, just like those 20 guys transferred out of there this year, or however many did. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to recruit different dudes.
You know what the worst part about that is, Drake, is they think you grind that. We've been through 4 of them. You go through 4 off seasons and you think that what you're doing is enough. You think that your team is working just as hard or harder than everyone, right? You think that the culture is good, right? And then you get to the season and it's nut up or shut up time. Is what you put in over the last 8 months actually what you thought it was? And when the results don't match the input, oh, that is mentally
hurts.
Just deteriorating.
Kevin, did you put a number on how many times you're fading Nebraska this year?
12.
We don't bet Nebraska. We never bet Nebraska.
Never.
Podcast.
Never. So that's the Huskers.
We were all over Illinois +7 Saturday.
We were. And we had several people take that. And somebody on Twitter already thanking Ward's winners for paying their house payment. So, it is what it is, right? If you want to stack your pockets full of green dollar bills, then you take the Ward's winners this season and be prepared, because your first segment of Ward's winners is coming up on Thursday, my friends. And it's going to be an exciting time. Now, we spent a lot of time on Nebraska here. I honestly feel a little bit sick that we gave him that much airtime. I'll chalk that one up to
there's no other Big Ten football this year.
Right. There is nothing on Saturday except for that. I'll say this. All of the negative stuff that Nebraska should be feeling right now, on the other hand, Illinois feels great. Those players are like, holy shit, we might have something here. Bielema's 1-0. Best you can be to start your career. And
it's a great feeling being 1-0. I don't care who you beat your first week. Being 1-0 is a great feeling.
Yeah, at Iowa, if we would have rolled out Marshalltown High School and we would have beat them, hey, it can only be 1-0 today. And that's what we are, right?
So, hey, guess what? We're still eating lobsters on Sunday, no matter.
Lobster on Sunday, baby. Lobster prime rib on Sunday. Here's what I want to end tonight with. There was an article that Mike Kloss did. I want to give credit where credit's due. Yeah, one of the writers, reporters for Iowa. And this is one of those noise things, right? This is one of those things that Kevin Drake and I would have just despised as a player, even acknowledging something like this. Not that Mike wrote a bad article or that he's not doing his job, because this is exactly what it's supposed to be. And it actually brings up a good point, which is why I bring it to the end of this pod. He wrote an article yesterday that said, just being good won't be good enough for 2021 Hawkeyes. And what he basically alludes to is, hey, we haven't been to the Big Ten Championship since 2015. For Kirk Ferentz, there hasn't been a lot of hype of a championship caliber for a lot of seasons, right? You know, he goes into the seasons where we were ranked, all this stuff coming into the year.
I don't think we've had hype preseason since like 2016.
Correct.
And so
maybe 18, maybe 19.
Yes.
But not championship hype, I don't think.
And so I want to read this part of the article. It goes, you can't be a reasonable person and expect 12-0 this season from the Hawkeyes, like the fairy tale regular season of 2015 or ever again. 12's a lot of games. Injuries can happen to key players at rotten moments. The ball is shaped oddly and can take peculiar bounces. Also, and this is always kind of important, the opponents also have skilled, motivated players and coaches who kind of take this stuff seriously. That's a really, really good point that he makes, because they do. Everybody's trying
those
to win.
Guys are on scholarship too.
That said, this should be a no excuse season for Iowa. Right now, there's no reason this team shouldn't be a strong contender to win the West and to get to the Big Ten title game for the first time in 6 years. People and even media around here are more than fair and understanding in not expecting 10-win seasons from Iowa every year, although the Hawkeyes did in their last full season churn out one of those 10-win seasons. But this isn't the year to be calling yourself tight end you or bragging about how you develop mass quantities of NFL players. This is a year to do what Northwestern has done in two of the last three seasons and win the West. So I love the title. It's like, just being good won't be good enough.
Right? Listen, the guy writes a damn good article.
He does.
I mean, I 100% agree. I'm looking at sportsbook odds right now.
I think we're favored in every game but one.
I'm just looking at odds to win the Big Ten championship, and we are second in the West behind Penn State. Behind Wisconsin. And I'd say it's really neck and neck. Wisconsin's coming off a bad year. Mm-hmm. I personally think the Hawks are the team, the favorite in the West. Mm-hmm. So I agree. Like, I would say going into this year, saying if we go 8-4, I would say, you know, might have underperformed.
But, and I agree.
You know, it's like you said, crazy stuff happens in games. You know, there's some really talented teams out there that drop 3-4 games because crazy stuff happened in the game, Hail Mary, last second field goals. And then there's less talented teams like our 2015 team that just goes and runs the table.
And it goes the right way every time. Yeah.
Yeah. But I 100% agree that there should be some hype around this team. There's talent on this team. There's a few question marks in some certain position groups. We're going to find out here real quick against these first two opponents. But I think the hype is valid, and I think he makes a good point.
I do too. Drake, you might have some thoughts on that. Here's how, as a fan, though, I want you to read this article and what you should take away. Because the clickbait is great, right? Good isn't good enough. We should be a title contender this year. And all of that is correct, but you have to look at it from a certain perspective. And that perspective is, we should be contending for a spot in the Big Ten championship. If we get there, a Big Ten championship, right? This does not say, or it shouldn't say to you, maybe he wants you to read it this way, but if we don't make the Big Ten championship, That does not mean by any form for certain, it could, but it's not for certain that the Hawks underperformed, right? If we're at if we're in deep in the season and it's the fourth quarter, what this says to fans and how you should read this is a team that should be contending. They should be in a fourth quarter matchup at minimum. They should be in a fourth quarter matchup with the game on the line to win the West, not that they absolutely will. And if we don't make the Big Ten championship this year is a failure. It's the fact that we should absolutely be there to contend for that. And that's how I take that. And I think fans read
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If we go end up going 9-3 and we lose and the tiebreaker is that we lost like a really tough game versus Wisconsin in the fourth quarter.
That's a successful season.
I mean, obviously it's disappointing because the goal is obviously get to Indy, win Indy. It's to win every fucking game. Let's be honest.
Every game. As is the opponents.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe not Nebraska. I don't know about Nebraska.
You should see championship level play out of this football team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Drake, any thoughts on that? Maybe.
If you ain't first, you're last.
You're right. As a fan, there does come a time, and he mentions a six-year cycle. 2004, 2009, 2015. We're there. We're kind of back around. And I know that things don't just work in destiny like that, but, you know, paper would say, and fate may say that this is the year the Hawks make an appearance in the Big Ten Championship. And boys, if they do, we're going to find out how to get there and watch them. Fucking record. There's a $5. Record a podcast.
That's two for you, bro. You're up 10.
Really?
You just dropped one about 30 seconds ago and you didn't even know it.
Oh, God. Record a podcast in Indianapolis. Maybe go to the hotel that we stayed at and just relive some memories. Maybe that's a bad idea for Kevin. I don't know. It would be very, very exciting.
Kevin's in scary story territory right
Kevin's
now, bro.
He's like, no, don't take me back. I don't want to go. You mentioned, I do want to say this, and it's our relationship with the fans that makes this and the listeners. I don't even like to call you fans necessarily, but listeners, fans of the team, that makes this so great. I got a message, Kev, that said, when you were struggling with words the other day, talking about if you sometimes are unsure if this is diminishing sort of the look on the program or helping it, and that's truly what we want to do. And I'll send it to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It was really, really good. This guy explained in depth how, in ways I've never even thought about before, how we've changed his perspective on the program. In turn, he's talked about the program to his kids, parented his kids outside of sports situations differently because of this perspective that we bring as people who were once a part of the program. It was really like heartfelt and heartwarming. And
does that mean I'm helping to parent people's kids?
Absolutely, Drake. Absolutely.
Daddy
Drake. It's not Uncle Drake. Drake. It's Daddy Drake.
No, that really is. That is heartwarming to hear.
Yeah. You're going to like the message when I send it to you.
Yeah, please do, man. I'd love to see it and reach back out to him.
I had several other people send shorter messages too. They're like, hey, if you're up in the air, whether you're making the program look good or bad, you guys have done so much for this program as past players that it's insane. And everyone's like very thankful and, yeah,
that's just awesome to hear, man. Like I said, we do this for the fans. We have a deal with iHeartRadio now. It's cool. We never expected that was going to happen.
Never.
We just want to get on here and talk Hawkeye football to the fans because
never.
It was what you guys made our experience at Iowa so awesome, and
now we're just trying to get back the awesome.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Tyler and Kevin and the fans for carrying my dead weight all the way to episode 244.
I like that. I like that little ending there. I was going to ask if Daddy Drake had anything to say.
That's what I got, man. Shout out to everybody.
And that's what he's got. Thank you guys so much for joining us as we begin this hopefully memorable and exciting 2021 Hawkeye football season.
Everyone listening, give yourselves a pat on the back. You got through 9 months of us talking not Hawkeye football.
Occasionally, we had
the season's back, baby.
It's been,
and also
you made it.
Also, you got to know. Listen, anybody listening to this right now, get on the episode Thursday immediately so you can pick up Kevin's picks and get you some free money because they're printing money at the casinos. Listen to me, it's not at the ATM. You don't go to the ATM. You go to the cage with your ticket that Kevin just won you a bunch of money on. And you hand it to them and they hand you back a bunch of money. And that's how printing money works with Ward's winners. Get on our episode Thursday.
Get on there. The guy is so good at Riverside that they increase security during the fall season because they try not to let him in. But somehow he sneaks in there and he gets those picks.
At the Aria in Vegas, they have an Ivy room for the high rollers at Riverside in Riverside, Iowa.
It's the Ward.
They have awards winners. War room, and that's where all of the magic goes down.
We got to strike up a deal, an NIL deal with Riverside. Get them as a title sponsor. Again, this one went a little bit longer, but we're just excited. There's a lot. One Big Ten game produced this long and this good of an episode. Think about what an entire slate looks like, baby. We're going to come to you Thursday, like Drake said. Get on that episode hot and fresh. We're going to preview.
Our podcast doesn't suck. Our podcast doesn't suck.
Doesn't suck, baby. We're going to preview Iowa versus Indiana, a top 25 matchup to start off the season. You guys aren't going to want to miss it. We're on iHeartRadio. We're doing big things. It's 21. Indianapolis. Watch out, baby. Here we come. Let's go. 244. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.